If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you know, the MK party is now going to be on the ballot. Lots of anticipation, as you know, everybody waiting for that judgment to come through. But let me talk to two experts. I want to start here with Teretsilane, former IEC commissioner, who's on the line with us this evening. A very good evening, and thank you so much for being with us. Good evening, Teretsilane.
Good evening to you and to your listeners, and thank you very much for having me.
So this judgment, the submission by the IEC, by the ANC to the Electoral Court, what did you make of that?
Well, the submission basically was or appeared to be rushed, uncoordinated, and very disjointed, in a sense that when they went to the commission and raised this issue for the first time, they raised it on the basis of the ownership of the MK
branding
as an organization and on the basis of the logo and the patent rights. And when they went to the electoral court, it was a completely different, and they completely abandoned that argument and then only focused on procedural issues. But it was very strange because even during the same period, the Secretary General of the ANC kept on talking about the ownership of the party, that it basically belongs to the ANC, even when he was in Bloemfontein.
Yes, actually. Yeah.
When, in actual fact, there was not even a single reference in the submission about that particular aspect. Instead, they focus only on the issue of whether the deputy chief electoral officer followed the proper process in registering the MK party. And in fact, argued that that registration was irregular and unlawful, and that it would therefore disqualify the MK party from being part of parties that are registered.
If we had to look at the details of the procedural element of their argument, just maybe help us out. It is the prerogative of the commission to assist those who come to the commission with the hopes of registering their party. And if they perhaps need assistance and they need guidance, it is the prerogative of the commission to do that, is it not? And does that then mean, with this particular case, it was really more political than it was procedural? Because many other parties also were afforded the same kind of luxury that the MK party was afforded, to be guided.
Of course, it was always going to be political. And then you are correct that the commission would always, the side of inclusivity, instead of trying to exclude political parties from participating in the process. And this is in line with Section 19 of the Constitution, which basically recognizes the rights of political parties to be established and then represent whatever interests that they represent. So the commission was always going to err on the side of that. But the kind of the issues, procedural issues that were being raised, are basically details of how one should actually apply Section 15 of the Electoral Commission Act, which basically is the provision that the commission would use to recognize and register political parties. Those details, in terms of whether you are receiving the documentation in fragments, or whether you are receiving them in totality at the time when you are registering them, it's really the discretion of the commission how they do that. It is not something that is prescribed in law.
Well, thank you very much for that guidance. Teretsilane is a former IEC commissioner. Very clear, you know, there really wasn't anything here that was strange about how the IEC conducted itself. I want to get to the legal argument here. Mpumelelo Zikalala, legal expert. Again, thanks very much for making time for us this evening. Good evening and welcome, Mpumelelo.
Good evening to you, and also good evening to your listeners.
Your take on how the court actually proceeded with this matter and ruled on this one? It was a unanimous judgment, we are told, finally.
I think the court was taking the stance that we're going to all the time. There are two things that we need to cover here. Legal compliance, what are the legal prescripts that are the in terms of the Electoral Act when it comes to the manner and the time frame is available for you to dispute or to lodge your appeal. And then it said to the agency, you're not giving us enough time or enough responses or reasoning of why you are late. You are simply giving us issues which are flimsy. Firstly, you say you're on holiday, while you're on holiday, you're then instructing your attorneys. So which is which? You haven't been able to convince us in terms of the delay that is there. Now, the court is very jealous when individuals that take their own time to utilize the court system.
Because first of all, it then deems it not as urgent as you say it is if you yourself took your time getting here.
Definitely. So they can't be selective compliance. It has to be compliance all the time. And then it said on a jurisdictional point of view, well, another problem that we're going to find is that you've missed a very important appeals or dispute resolution process, which is the commission. So you start with the IEC, then the commission, then the court. You've come straight to the court and not given us an opportunity or a reason why you did not go to the commission itself, or the reason of going to the commission is totally different. However, let's assist you and look at the merits of the matter and look at the two provisions which we've highlighted. In our interpretation, they are there to protect the individuals that have applied and not necessarily the individuals that are already registered as political parties. So it's an opportunity for them to raise an objection of saying, why are you denying me my rights in terms of Section 19 of the Constitution to form a political party in this instance? It's not necessarily a registered political party from disputing whatever that there is. But I think it centered a lot on the manner and the speed in which the ANC moved to say, we didn't take this matter seriously, so we do not think that we are going to take it seriously now, and the consequences of that is that we are going to find against you.
And ultimately, what it is saying is also saying that, you know, overall, it's unjust. It's unjust for you to come at this late hour, for us to deny this particular party the right to participate, because if we had to start all over again, they wouldn't have time, therefore they would not be able to contest the elections.
Especially when the non-compliance is not that of the political party, but that of the IEC. In addition to that, the non-compliance is that of the ANC and not of the MK party.
And it would then prejudice them and their constituency.
Definitely. And the amount of prejudice which is going to be suffered by all these three individuals is going to be felt greater by MK party rather than anybody else. So on those basis, it's not in the interest of justice that the application is granted.
Well, it was unanimous, as we said earlier, on lots of speculations about that. Mpumelelo, let's just talk a little bit about the so-called leaks and maybe clarify for people who are skeptical and on your take of how the judges themselves came to this conclusion. You reckon this was above board, no conspiracy here to be entertained?
Not at all. You see, when you read the judgment and you see the reasons of why the judge have arrived at that decision, it makes it clear that there is a the line of questioning, and there's consistency and there's logic into how one person has arrived at the particular conclusion. And it's also based on facts. The facts being, for example, during the delay. If you haven't filed your application by this date and you only file it much, much later and need to provide a reason which is inconsistent with your reasoning, the only conclusion that I can lead to is that you didn't want to utilize this process in the first place. So it's one of those processes in which you must then come back and say, it is not really that the law is administrated. I did not utilize the law in a proper manner. So the courts were very clear in terms of the line of questioning, the logic which was utilized. However, I did feel that they needed to put in maybe one or two paragraphs at the start of reading the judgment to allay the fears the South African matters have, to say there was a leak or there wasn't a leak. If there was, we're doing our investigation. But we needed, and felt it was important that we give you a live read in terms of the judgment and not a written one, because as per the JSC, the Judicial Services Conduct, the Code of Conduct, does say to us we must be transparent. And part of the transparency is that decisions such as these ones, which are groundbreaking, especially for the Electoral Act, are written in open court. We don't simply read about it in a piece of paper or getting to an email.
There's another element of this that Mr. Zolani spoke about earlier on that is now sitting with another court that we are now waiting for its judgment on it, the issue of the trademark and the logo. How are you reading how the court is going to rule on that one?
Firstly, I do not think that one is going to be, the outcome is going to come out as soon as possible. Yes, the ANC has came in an urgent basis on that one. They still have to get over the hurdle of agency. The amount of time that has left since that letter was sent up until we've arrived at this point today is for me a bit too much. So they might face the biggest hurdle of saying, if you say that this matter is urgent, what other alternative remedies did you go through? Did you go to the CIPC? Is there a dispute resolution process that is available there? As per the Trademark Act, is there a dispute resolution process which is available there? If you are claiming common law rights, show us those rights so we are able to deal with the matter. And give us irreparable harm if you are going to suffer. Is there any financial gain which is going to be gained all of this? Is there any brand loss in which people are going to suffer? Because it is quite clear and distinctive when you say Mkhonto the party and the ANC, which are talking about two different political parties. Their ideologies are completely the same. They started the individual that started it comes from the ANC. And it's really the popularity of that individual that makes people want to join the new party. So if you say these individuals are passing off on your good name, then how would that be done? Because another argument would be, even if they would wake up from modern college, Mkhonto as well, probably the individuals that are there will still continue being there because they did not join the name of Mkhonto receiver, they simply followed the individuals.
Thank you both for making time for us. Mpumelelo Lizikalala, legal expert, and Teretsilane, former IEC commissioner.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.